Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If I bleed tonight, if I am sad tonight, I don't have a job to find. And if I work tonight, if I'm so tired tonight, I'll fall asleep when I'm home, when I'm
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of the Purslam podcast here on Patreon, ad-free on Thursday or in the main feed on Friday. My name's Kenny McIntosh, joined as always by Mr. Finlay Martin. Finn, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right, Kenny. How's yourself?
I'm okay. I'm, you know, the wrestling news landscape is just, the pace of it is just crazier than any January I can think of. And I know it's the 1st of February today as we record this, but you know, January was crazy. But there was
Remember in 2022 when people saying, well, there's never been a year this crazy. Oh, you know, things are just going to calm down from here. And it's just got more tumultuous.
Yeah, 2024 said, hold my coffee. Let me up the game. We've got loads to get into today, including obviously, you know, CM Punk's injury and the post-Royal Rumble Raw. But I wanted to kind of ask you about something that just I'd seen on Twitter, and I was curious your take on the situation, right? So there's an interviewer in the States called Chris Van Vliet, right? And he, you know, does YouTube videos and different things. And he basically had interviewed about 3 weeks ago Patrick Clark, Velveteen Dream. He interviewed Riddle last week. And he's been getting a bit of pushback from some people about, you know, you're interviewing these people that have got a lot of kind of either allegations against them or they've got a lot of
baggage.
I don't want to make light of it, so I'm not using the word baggage as a light thing, but I don't really know what other word to use for it. Yeah. But, you know, in terms of, for you, as someone who covers wrestling, has done for years, is it fair game to sort of just, because, you know, for Riddle as an example, there was no questions about any of his allegations. The Patrick Clark one, Patrick Clark had actually shopped around to various media people, not me, thankfully, but to various people wanting to do an interview. And Chris Van Vliet was the one person who said yes. And that was, you know, you can tell Clark wanted it to be a bit of a rehabilitation for him. But yeah, well, what do you think of it?
Well, I mean, he put out that statement, didn't he, in which he apologised to basically everyone, Patrick Clark did.
Yeah.
I mean, they used to call it, I don't know if they still call this now, but they used to back in the 90s, they used to call it the apology circuit, where if somebody had been arrested for something or whatever, like a famous person, they would appear on the chat shows back in the 90s. Uh-huh. And it was always very carefully controlled. And they would basically apologize for their misdeeds. And some of them, their apologies would be accepted. And some would essentially be cancelled, you know, based upon how either how popular they were or how severe their transgressions or crimes had been. So this is almost like a modern version of that, isn't it? Where we just the word out there, listen, I did wrong. You know, this is my story. I accept that I shouldn't have done this. You know, world, please forgive me. That's the message, isn't it? That's that they're projecting, basically. I don't know. I mean, I've been there before. I remember doing an interview with a wrestler in 2007. I'm not going to say who it was. And I'd interviewed him before, and we had a hell of an interview. And then something had happened on a wrestling show in the UK in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And he got in touch via someone, I can't remember who it was, and he wanted to do an interview with Powerslam and basically set the record straight on what had occurred on the show.
Right.
So I grilled him about it, and I wasn't 100% sure that he was telling me the truth. And we did the interview, and I felt a little bit kind of icky about, you know, some of the stuff that was said, because I realized that I was being used. I was effectively the magazine equivalent of the old apology circuit. That's what I was. That was my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about that, and I did grill him on it. And, you know, I'm not really sure whether he told me the truth or he didn't. I didn't observe what had occurred. So there's lots of versions of events. And then we talked about other things. So I actually felt like the interview was worth running. But there was really, I did question that, you know, the wisdom of that decision before I did it, as I was doing it. And now looking back, what's that, 17 years ago, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the right decision at the time? And I felt like it was, because I wouldn't have agreed to the interview otherwise. So, you know, it's a tricky one, really. And I'm not going to judge anyone for interviewing someone who, you know, wants to either attempt to redeem himself or herself or atone or whatever, or wants to put out their version of events. I'm not going to judge any interviewer for taking that interview. Well, within reason, of course. There's obviously certain people that you would never give a forum to. But people in the media industry have got to decide for themselves whether it's right or wrong, you know. And, you know, that 2007 one, the more I think about it now as I'm going through it, was that the right decision? And I don't know whether it was or it wasn't. Possibly it wasn't, but I did it anyway. So I'm not going to judge anyone, Kenny, about that, because I've been there and I've made that decision. And we've all got to decide what we think's right for us as interviewers and for whatever website, magazine, you know, or, you know, forum you represent.
Yeah. No, it is difficult because, so like for me, I mean, I like Chris, I've met him, he's a nice enough guy. I think the difficulty for him is, so he does the Patrick Clark interview, which obviously gets a lot of kind of play because, you know, he's the one who took the interview. I think to follow up shortly after with Riddle and to not, like, even me, right? I'm a more fluffy interviewer than you are, right? We know this. This is not news to anyone. But like if so, say Riddle was being interviewed by Inside the Ropes magazine, right? If he'd been interviewed by you, you would probably ask him a few questions that were quite tough about what people, you know, what's out there about him, so that he can sort of say, even me, who's like a fluff person, I would have to ask him something. And I would probably have quite a kind of moral dilemma on whether I wanted to do it, because I just don't know if at this stage I would want to. But if I did, I feel like I have to, for my own sort of integrity, I have to ask something about it. And I think to not ask anything, you know, I know he interviewed, and I think this is also where some of the people who are kind of going in hard on him are saying, you know, you interviewed Patrick Clark, you interviewed Matt Riddle, you interviewed Hulk Hogan, all these people who have done really allegedly horrible things. And you didn't grill them, but you really grilled Dave Meltzer on his star rating system. And it's like, well, you know, you can't be David Frost to one. And then when you finally got the ones who you really should be sort of sticking it to a bit, you don't do any of it. So I think that it's almost what I think he's probably going to learn out of this is, you know, I need to kind of be more, what's the word, consistent with my style that I'm going to do. Because like for you, if you're interviewing someone, no matter who it is, you do, you know, go hard on them when it's necessary.
Yeah.
And you don't you don't let someone away with that. And I think that's important. If that's your style, then you have to kind of be consistent.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that, absolutely. You know, people have got to decide for themselves. You know, I wouldn't do an interview with Patrick Clark, but I would do an interview with Matt Riddle.
Yeah. I definitely wouldn't do the Clark one. Well, mainly because it's funny you mentioned that 2007 comparison for that reason, because I know for a fact it's like a so if there's an allegation there about Patrick Clark, and it's a bad allegation, as we know.
Yeah.
And he says, that wasn't me. I didn't do that. Well, I don't really know what I can do with that. You know, I can't. There's nothing I can do to prove he's telling the truth or if he's lying. And if it's all out there that people have kind of condemned him anyway, then it's kind of a bit of a waste of time, because you're essentially, you know, if you do let him do the apology circuit thing you mentioned, and then say something else comes out in a couple of months that prove that he was in fact guilty of this stuff that people have said he has, then I'm going to end up being in some ways semi-complicit for being involved in that. So to me, that one's just one that it would have been better left alone. But, you know, he got massive views on that video, and, you know, he'll have made a lot of money off that video. But I do think if you're going to do it, you need to accept the pushback you're going to get from people for deciding to do it.
I agree. You do. Yeah, absolutely. You've got to go into it with your eyes open, and I'm sure he did. And that's that. And yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, people are, you know, I'm not going to, people have got to make their own decisions in this industry. They have to. And then they have to also accept the consequences, you know, of their actions. And I'm sure he's willing to do that. But yeah, I'd do an interview with Matt Riddle, you know, not Patrick Clark. I just don't think that would be, that's just not something I would be willing to do. But Matt Riddle, yeah, I'd love to speak to him.
And yeah, I think, you know, I think if you're going to speak to Riddle, you know, if you're in the game, you got to ask the question.
Of course you are.
Or one of the questions.
Of course you have, yeah. I mean, that was always my thing in Power Slam. And certainly, you know, my thing now, you've got to ask those difficult questions. And if you're not willing to ask the difficult questions, go and do something else for a living.
Amen. More big news came out of WWE this week, Finn, which was that CM Punk had in fact injured his arm during the Royal Rumble match. I mean, you could see he had tweaked it a little bit, but he did work through it and he did do the rest of the Rumble match.
Yeah.
So I think we kind of hoped that he'd be okay, but unfortunately not. He came out on Raw at the top of the show on Monday, and he mentioned that, you know, unfortunately, the injury is going to put him out for months.
Yes,
he is. It's a torn triceps.
Yeah, yeah, on his right arm. Yeah, he came out with his arm in a sling on Monday for the opening segment.
And he ended up, I think that's part, I think that's the injury he had in AEW as well, where he was out and he came back to face Moxley on Dynamite and lost the title before All Out 2022. But it's a big blow to WrestleMania now, because now we've got no Punk, we've got no Brock, and yeah, it's what do you make of, I mean, also it's bad that Punk got injured, but, you know, with these kind of big names out, what are your thoughts on WrestleMania and how this all kind of affects stuff?
Yeah, it's like, if you think, like, you know, 10 days ago, people were saying, well, it's going to be Rock versus Reigns, it's going to be Brock versus Gunther, it's going to be Punk versus Rollins, and now none of those matches are happening. I mean, I'm pleased that one of those matches is not happening, that being Rock versus Reigns, which we believe will take place later in the year, probably in Saudi Arabia. Match is still going to happen, but just not at WrestleMania, which is the right decision, in my opinion. I mean, yeah, Punk came out. It was, you know, really quite an emotional segment for him. And I know a lot of people were criticising him and criticising WWE's decision for signing him because he was injured at least twice. Yeah, two major injuries, weren't there, that he suffered in AEW. And this was his first, obviously not his first match, but his first big match since he returned to WWE. And he suffered, yeah, another muscle tear. So it's like, I mean, back in the day, you know, back in the steroid era, people used to blame these muscle injuries on steroid use. We know CM Punk's straight Edge doesn't use, not in the gear.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he suffered another muscle injury. So, yeah, it's got to be a worrying sign for him. I saw the footage on X of him at ringside, you know, grabbing his arm right after the Rumble, after he'd been eliminated by Cody Rhodes on Saturday. And you could tell that he knew it was bad, couldn't you, from that footage?
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those things where, I mean, obviously this is a repeat injury almost that had happened in AEW. But,
yeah.
I mean, at the same time, it's like, you know, the message I think probably coming out of this is he probably just needs to be wrestling the big matches when he comes back.
Yes.
You know, he probably shouldn't be doing house shows with Dominic and stuff like that, because if he's that, if it's that kind of fragile potentially, you want to make sure that the matches he does get to have are big ones.
Indeed.
I still think he
is injury prone.
This
is a fact. This has happened.
But at the same time, I mean, I think, you know, the people who are saying question WWE's decision to sign him, I mean, that's just go and see a doctor. Do you know what I mean? I mean, come on. Like, the guy's already made them loads of money on merch.
Yeah.
You know, loads of interest. You know, to me, a big part of why Cody winning the Rumble felt exciting this year was because Punk was in there and he was the last guy with him. So, I mean, yeah, just get a grip if that's the mindset. But, I mean, one thing that's also, and people aren't talking about this, but one thing that's going to really hurt from all this stuff is the Elimination Chamber show in Perth, Australia, because there's no Brock Lesnar. It's come out in a report that he was, you know, his spot in the Rumble, he was going to go on to face Dominic Mysterio at Elimination Chamber, and then he was going to face Gunther at WrestleMania, the match that we've been talking about for ages. So Brock's out. Gunther can't travel outside the US right now because he's in the process of getting his green card. So there's going to be no Brock, no Gunther, no Cody, no Roman on that show. And it's like, this is a stadium show in front of 50,000 people. Like, what are they going to be able to... I mean, if I'm Perth, Australia, and we've paid this money for this show, I'm going to be very unhappy if you know, because you look at Money in the Bank in July, they got John Cena as part of their show. It's like I know for us, that's not a great thing, but you know, they got a big name on top of already having Roman Reigns on the show and already having these other people. But,
well, you know what, Ken? They need to spend some money. They need to get, you know, they need to do, like, Reigns needs to be on the show, to wrestle. They can do the contract signing for WrestleMania. Do that at the Elimination Chamber.
I think he should be wrestling on the show. Like, this guy's paid monster money. He never wrestles. Like, you know, this is the company's in a tough spot. Get out there and do this show.
Yeah, he could do a six-man, couldn't he?
Yeah. Just do something, you know, a Bloodline six man. Have Cody on the other side.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe have Orton in there. You know, but to me, it's like.
Yeah, you could do LA Knight, Randy Orton, and Cody.
Yeah.
Actually, Cody's on Raw. Wait, listen, you can do that.
It's Mania season. Exactly. You can do what you want.
You can bend the rules. There needs to be a six man with Roman Reigns in it. You don't need to wrestle much. And, you know, Cody can do the job in the match. Reigns can pin him. It's like, oh, my God, you know, Cody's lost. We can't believe it. He's never going to beat Roman at WrestleMania. Just book the match. Spend the money.
And if you're Perth, Australia, and the Australian government has spent money, because we know this is the game now, right? You pay money to get an event.
Exactly.
They've paid money. I know they've got Rhea Ripley, and that's going to be a big hometown moment, but they need something else. So, yeah, I think that's going to be in trouble. Yeah,
absolutely. They do. Or, I mean, if Okada is going to WWE, put him on the show.
Yeah, have that be his first match.
You know, if they're bringing, we still don't know if Sasha Banks is, has she made a decision yet? Has this been announced yet?
There's no announcement. I mean, all reports are saying that she's going to end up in AEW. But until she ends up there, I guess it's still kind of open to what could happen. So
exactly, it's like you've just signed this, you know, $5 billion Netflix deal. You've got endless amounts of money, you know, just spend some, you know, and just like give people VFM, value for money, Kenny.
Yeah,
that's what we give people, value for money, on this podcast, or at least I hope we do.
Yeah, you don't see Finn off and me and him being replaced by Hulk the dog in a podcast. Yeah, you know I mean, we don't bait and switch you. But no, I think
the dog would probably make more sense half the time.
But yeah, the Punk thing's a shame. I thought that the promo he did on Monday on Raw was really heartwarming, but Drew McIntyre, when he came out and said, you know, I wish this would happen to you, I mean, that was great.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Drew is on fire.
He said, I'm not a religious man, but I prayed for this injury. You know, and he's exercised the demon that is CM Punk. Drew said he was going to find a way into a world title match of Mania and live Punk's dream again. And then they had a scrap. McIntyre dropped Punk and then stomped on his arm, and Sami Zayn ran in to save Punk. Now, if Drew McIntyre is leaving WWE after all this, then WWE needs to fire everyone in a management position. I mean, I realise this isn't going to happen, especially after what's just happened. But it's just like, you cannot let this guy go now. Drew, I mean, Punk's going to be out, what do you reckon, till about May, June time?
Well, it could be longer. It could be like 8-9 months potentially, depending how bad it is. But I mean, yeah, at least till the summer, I think.
So they've already set up Punk versus Drew for, say, SummerSlam. It's already set up. So Drew needs to become champ at WrestleMania. He needs to beat Rollins. Then he can be champ. And at that point, we can set up McIntyre versus Punk for whichever event that Punk returns on.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine that Drew's not re-signing. You know, based on the fact that, like you said, they've set up Punk as the first opponent back. Drew as Punk's first opponent back. So, yeah, I think Drew has, again, it's like, you look at Drew McIntyre, he has seen this sort of gap here and he's slid right into it. He has just taken that ball and ran with it, and he's already been on a tear, but I just thought the stuff he was doing this, and he was on social media, doing memes and stuff about CM Punk.
Same with the gravestone, CM WrestleMania main event, the gravestone with that etched on it. I mean, it's just hilarious. And look at AEW right now. I mean, they can't sell tickets. I mean, it's like, do you really want to go there when all this is happening in WWE and all these huge things are just, you don't even have to fight for them. They're just there for the taking. And, this is obviously what happens when people suffer injuries. Others benefit. And that's the way the industry is.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's just bang through some Raw stuff before we go today. Oh, no, before that, I do want to ask you about Brock. I mean, we went through the Vince stuff on Tuesday as best we could. Brock named by the Wall Street Journal as potentially being the UFC person in the lawsuit. I mean, like we said, by laws of deduction, it can't be anybody else of who was named. Brock is now off of everything. He's not on Chamber. Yeah. He's not on Mania. I mean, do you see, based on a Vince-less landscape, what do they do? Is he gone forever? Is there something they can do to sort of clear him to ever bring him back? I mean, I know I'm totally aware the Janelle Grant stuff is way more important than this, but this is a wrestling podcast, so we do need to ask these questions as well, because that's what we're here for. So yeah, in terms of Brock, what do they do?
What's the Martin instinct?
Yeah.
I, uh, I don't know. I mean, it looks bad. And it seems to me that, you know, TKO is taking this very seriously. You know, I just, you know, if he is granted, you know, a reprieve and returns, what message would that send? I mean, I imagine that Vince will sell. We talked about this on Sunday when we recorded.
Yeah,
I can't imagine that this is going to go to Discovery. I just don't think it's going to. Although you do wonder what else can come out if you've read the lawsuit, and I've read a lot of it now. You do wonder if there is anything else, if there's anything that could be worse than what has been alleged in that lawsuit.
Well, there's going to have to be. I mean, whether you, no matter what you think of how much it's true or not, some of it is bound to be true, right? It's not bound to all be an act of fiction. And if any of it is true, it's a pattern of behavior. It's not a one off. It's not like Vince at 72 decided, oh, I'm going to do this now. Like, there's going to be more people out there. Well, so
I don't think we can really talk about that, Kenny, because we don't know. We don't know. But I mean, it's like, you know, we talked about it at length on Sunday, and obviously he started paying this woman off. So there was something going on there between them. We know that for sure.
Yeah. So I'm just meaning more. If something did happen, and it's an if, right? Something did happen, there could be other people out there that something happened to as well.
Absolutely.
And if that happens, you know, if they do settle this lawsuit, and you know, a lot of times lawsuits are settled because the person who's trying to sue doesn't have the money to keep up with corporations who could just bury it for years, right?
That's often the way it plays out, absolutely.
So, you know, if other people, what could be more damning, actually, instead of more stuff coming out of this, is more people coming forward. So that could be bad for Vince. I mean,
Vince, it's over for Vince. There's no way back from this. And I don't see, there's just no way he can be allowed back. I mean, as we said on Sunday, when he returned in January of last year, it was a completely different situation. He was still majority shareholder and he had the power to do that. He no longer has the power to do anything without the TKO board's approval. And there is no way, no chance that they are going to allow him to return. Because for every reason you can think of, there's no way back for Vince. As for Lesnar, I think it could be it for him as well, because he's part of, he hasn't been officially named. I'm sure at some point, if it is indeed him, he will be, or maybe not. Maybe if this settlement is reached quickly, which I think it will be, and it'll be sealed, which I'm sure it will be, so no one will be allowed to talk about it again. Maybe his name will never be confirmed. I don't know. We just don't know at this point. But we do know that TKO is taking this very seriously. The fact that he's been removed, Lesnar's been removed from Rumble, or was removed from Rumble, is not going to be on the Chamber show. He's not booked for WrestleMania. It tells you all you need to know. They are taking this very seriously. So I think it could be, that could be it for him now. I think he's probably through with WWE. Because if they were to bring him back even 6-9 or months later or a year from now, what message would it send? It would send the message that they were not taking this seriously, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It's tough. Lesnar might, and again, it's all an if game because, you know, you can't say this did happen, but you also don't want to diminish victims for saying something did happen. But, you know, if something did happen, you know, Lesnar might be lucky enough, which is a horrible thing to say, but he might be lucky enough to fall under the radar if he's not officially named. Like you say, things are just settled, but
yeah,
it's grim, but you know, they have acted fast and, you know, they have acted fast and that's all you can really do.
Absolutely. I mean, they have done that. And the thing is, they'll be judged TKO on their actions, Kenny, because that's the way to judge people, you know, whether it's in pro wrestling or life in general. Judge people on their actions, not what they say they're going to do, but what they actually do. And, you know, that's the important thing here with whether or not Lesnar returns. You know, if he does, they'll be judged on that action and judged very, very unfavorably.
A few other things on Raw before we go. Cody Rhodes came out to do a promo. Obviously, he had picked Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble for his WrestleMania 40 opponent. But then Seth Rollins comes out and tries to put a spanner in the works. And he does this promo where he basically tries to convince Cody that, you know, do you want the Hollywood title, the Hulk Hogan title, the one for posers and frauds who politic their way to the top, or do you want the Dusty Rhodes title, the workhorse championship, the blue collar title, because that's what the World Heavyweight Championship means. So Rollins is basically putting out his mission statement of why he wants Cody to choose him.
Yeah.
And while I'm sure we're pretty certain that Cody is going to be going against Roman, I thought Seth did a really good job on this promo of pleading a case that, you know, I'm convinced isn't going to happen, but I thought he did really well here. What did you think?
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah, absolutely. Rollins said that he was the guy now. He was the one who was making the towns, wrestling in main events of house shows, while Roman Reigns was do whatever Roman Reigns does most days each week, home with the wife and kids. Rollins said that, you know, they didn't need Reigns anymore. You know, he was not on that pedestal, and that he was the man. He was the guy. That was the phrase he used. Rollins said he was the guy, not Reigns. And that's why Rhodes should face him at WrestleMania. And yeah, it was, in a sense, it was a bit odd. If you think about it, well, why would he be urging Cody Rhodes to challenge him, since Cody Rhodes would be the greatest threat to his title, instead of Roman Reigns? So, but there again, Roman, you know, Seth Rollins is a babyface. He's honorable. He's a sportsman. He wants to be tested, doesn't he? So, you know, when you actually think about it from when you drill down there, think about it, it does make sense that Rollins would have said what he said to Cody Rhodes on Monday. And also, if Cody challenged Rollins, that's a more prestigious match, isn't it? And it sort of confirms what Rollins was saying in that promo. That, no, Cody's chosen me because I'm a bigger star, or I'm a, you know, bigger threat, or, you know, my championship means more than Roman Reigns' title does, even though it was only created last summer.
Yeah.
Was it last summer or last
yeah,
summer?
Yeah, yeah. And then it was Saudi where the belt was confirmed.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think he did really well. And
yeah,
it makes things, I mean, we're convinced that when Cody goes to SmackDown this tomorrow, as we record this, that he is going to pick Roman Reigns. But I like the idea of kind of just giving us something a bit different, giving us something that, I think it's a good...
I mean, hey, Kenny, they might delay it beyond tomorrow. Before Cody makes his announcement, he might get beaten down.
Yeah, they should do that. They should do stuff that kind of, you know, makes you...
Prolong the story. It's the stories. We were talking about this a couple of weeks ago. It's the stories that sell tickets.
Yeah.
They draw viewers. It's the stories that matter, not the matches. The matches are part of the story, of course, and obviously a vital part of the story. But the story is the main thing in wrestling and the characters who are in that story.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I hope they prolong it. I hope Cody doesn't make the announcement for at least two more weeks. Maybe even at Elimination Chamber. Maybe, Kenny. Hey,
mm-hmm.
This could be the selling point of Elimination Chamber. Have Cody Rhodes make his decision on the show and have Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins there.
Yeah, they need to do something, so hopefully they figure it out. Is there anything else on Raw before we go that kind of stuck out to you? I know we obviously had Drew and Sammy in the main event. We had, you know, the DIY and a tag title match with Priest and Balor. Is there anything else that stuck out to you?
I thought the DIY versus Priest and Balor match was really good. There was DIY chance. Fans were totally behind Ciampa and Gargano in their quest to win the belt. So I thought that was really well done. Of course, Priest and Balor won. And then afterwards, R-Truth came out. Judgment Day, Damian Priest said, you know, I want to apologize to you. But of course, it was a ruse. It was a double cross, and Judgment Day beat Truth down. And then Miz ran in and Judgment Day beat him down as well. So that's obviously going to lead to a Priest and Balor versus Truth and Miz title match, which I'm all for, Kenny. I'm all for it.
You were asking for this a few weeks ago, so it's continuing.
I was indeed, yeah. I thought Chelsea Green and Piper Niven versus Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark was rubbish. I mean, it felt like they made some progress with Green at Royal Rumble, and that was just erased here. So that was... piss poor. Becky Lynch said, you know, she let a lot of people down, but I do not stop until I am back on top. So Becky Lynch is obviously going to try and find another way of getting a title match at WrestleMania, Elimination Chamber, of course. I mean, Kofi Kingston just doesn't have that fan support that he once did, because he's like basically eased into the Dolph Ziggler role, hasn't he? Or he's heading in that direction. He's just been in WWE for too damn long. But I mean, people did get into the match with Gunther. You know, of course, Gunther won. He wasn't hardly going to lose the IC Championship to Kofi in a Raw match at this point. But I mean, the audience were really into the match, because it was really good. What else did we have on there? I guess the Bayley thing, didn't we? And, you know, they were talking, she didn't announce who she was going to challenge either.
No, which is also smart. Don't give it all away the night after the Rumble, or 2 nights after the Rumble. The thing I also really liked on the show was we had Andrade backstage.
Yeah.
You know, signing with Adam Pearce, and he signed his Raw contract. But I liked how Nick Aldis was there, and he was there. He explained that Aldis had allowed Bayley to appear on Raw so they could have both Royal Rumble winners on Raw. And then they were going to discuss Elimination Chamber, and then Aldis's phone rang, and he said, oh, excuse me, Bron Breakker on the phone. I thought it was really good that they were kind of playing off these people who'd either, you know, debuted or returned at the Royal Rumble, and, you know, they were vying to sort of sign them. So,
yes.
Yeah, I thought that's a good Pierce and Aldis as the kind of dueling GMs trying to make moves for their brand. I think they're striking a really good balance of competition but not overshadowing the show.
The only thing wrong with this segment was Aldis and Pierce towered over Andrade. Andrade should have been stood on a box in the middle of him.
If Vince was there, he probably would have been. But yeah, well, listen, that's all the time we've got for today. That was the main stuff from Raw. We'll be back, obviously, on Tuesday with what's going down. We'll cover kind of SmackDown and Raw. We'll have the Overrun up early next week as well. So I want to thank you for all your support. I know that it's been a weird kind of last week or two, because, you know, it's been a really exciting time within what's going on TV. But obviously, the Vince stuff has been really tough to sort of stomach. And stuff. Yes. So I think that, you know, we should all give ourselves a bit of a softer time, because I think it has been hard to sort of, you know, we cover this all the time, you know, you guys watch it all the time. It's hard to not get bogged down in that sort of stuff. So I hope that people are able to, you know, try and focus on the stuff on the wrestling portion, and not get bogged down in the stuff that we have no control over and we, you know, obviously don't endorse at all.
Yeah, I mean, scandals do happen, and I mean, there isn't anything good you can say about it. Nothing at all. It's just really just, you know, it's just a terrible, when these things happen, it's a terrible time for the business. And you just look at it and you just say, you know, all you can do is just hope that the business reacts to it like it has done in the past with things like, you know, the drug culture.
Yeah.
You know, trying to stamp out steroid use and things like that. And all you can do is just hope that the business just recognizes how awful these allegations are. And I think it does. And just strives to create a better environment for everyone. That's the only, that is the only thing you can say about it. That's the only flicker of hope, basically, you know, is that, you know, the business needs to make this a better place for everyone. That's what it needs to do. It's up to the wrestling business to do that.
Yeah, this is not a one person operation. You know, if this has gone on, it's a systemic thing. And, you know, hopefully by TKO, you know, get sort of putting Brock on hold and all that, they're taking it seriously, and they need to be looking at everything. And the thing is, you know, Vince being gone, I don't really want to have to sit through scandal after scandal after scandal. No. And I think if he stayed, we would. So
yeah, I mean, they need a zero tolerance approach.
Yeah,
you know, and they absolutely do. And the business just needs to say, no, this is totally unacceptable. This will not be tolerated. And if there's even a hint of anything like this in future, then that person will be immediately suspended and investigated, to send the message to everyone in the business, no matter what their position in the business is, that you cannot behave like this. You know, that is the only, you know, when I say there's nothing good you can say about it, nothing, but that's what you hope coming out of this happens. Yeah. And that it's like, no, this cannot happen again. This is not going to happen again. And if there's any whistleblowers out there, that they'll be protected and they'll be encouraged to come forward. you know, anything like this, and not threatened or, you know, are fearful for, you know, losing their jobs. They should be encouraged. Their identity should be protected, and they should be encouraged to report any sort of instance like this in future. You know, it doesn't matter who that person is, doesn't matter how high up they are, that this cannot be tolerated in wrestling. And that's the only thing that I can say. That's the thing that wrestling needs to take from this, and it needs to just basically, you know, get its house in order, basically.
Yeah, 100%. I saw a thing, I'll finish with this, but I saw a thing yesterday on Twitter where it was, you know, that website Glassdoor, where you can review places that you work for and stuff.
Yeah,
and it was a kind of bunch of WWE reviews, and it was kind of some highlighted bits about people weren't saying specifically, but they were alluding to things. They were alluding to what management can be like and an old boys club and all that. And I think that, you know, while I don't think TKO are going to spend their time tracking down every former employee, I think the very least, you know, like you say, sit down all your current employees and just go, look, this is a safe space room right now. We want to know what you think. What have you seen? What have you assessed? Because then what you do is you collate the evidence, right? And if you've got 10 people saying they saw the same thing, that's not somebody just talking rubbish. That's a pattern that's emergent. I think if they start doing stuff like that, they will be able to make things better, hopefully fix things.
Absolutely, yeah. They can basically try, and that's the only way they can move on from this.
Because if they don't, it'll come back to bite them again in a couple of years again with somebody else or something.
It's to let the world know, and most importantly, their employees and talent, independent contractors, whomever, that this is a good working environment, and that you do not have to fear, you know, any sort of, you know, discrimination, you know, or sexual harassment or whatever. And if anything like that does occur, you need to come forward. We will take that allegation seriously. You will not be buried as a result of, you know, whistleblowing on someone who's in a very, you know, senior position. And, you know, but they need to know that they can do that, and they can do that, and they're not going to be, you know, punished as a result. But yeah, it's all about changing the culture backstage and letting people know that things have changed, and that's what they need to do. And it's up to, you know, it's up to WWE and really all of wrestling as well, as we've seen previous scandals that have occurred. It's up to wrestling to sort itself out and to install rules and boundaries and enforce them as well, and enforce them consistently. That's the important thing here. They shouldn't, you know, regardless of where someone is in the hierarchy, you know, they cannot be allowed to conduct themselves in the fashion that, you know, all these allegations, you know, state that or claim that the high-ranking executives have done previously. This cannot be, I hate to use the phrase, this can never be allowed to happen again, because it's such an awful cliche, and it usually is just lip service. And to me, it's all about action rather than talk. Action is what's needed now, and it seems to me like they are taking action, and that's good. That's the only good thing I can say about this.
Yeah, that's the only good thing I can say.
You know, and I said there's nothing good coming. That is the one and only good thing I can say about this. It feels like they are taking this very seriously, and that is the only good thing I can say about it.
Well, listen, yeah, I thought it was, worth us just kind of having that wee mini chat at the end. So, yeah, hopefully that's helped you guys, and it's been good to listen to that part. But, yeah, we'll be back on Tuesday to talk all about wrestling. Hopefully no more injuries by then, and we'll see how things are shaping up leading towards Chamber and WrestleMania. So as always, if you want to listen to more of us, patreon.com/insidetheropes. Daily content goes out. Our main podcasts go out ad-free there and a little bit earlier. We do retro podcasts and Inside the Ropes magazine. You can pick up issue 41 right now at insidetheropesmagazine.com. Issue 42 will be going on sale on February the 29th. It's not up for pre-order yet, but it will be soon. And in that, I have an interview with the SmackDown GM himself, Nick Aldis. So you guys will enjoy that interview. We had a really good chat about stuff, some interesting tidbits in there. So I look forward to you guys getting to read that later this month. So
yes, I'm currently working on my Royal Rumble review, which I'm having a lot of fun with. So I hope people will have just as much fun reading it.
You know it's serious when we bring in the big F. Martin review. That's when you know we mean business. So, yeah, that will also be part of issue 42. So, yeah, hopefully you can check that out. Thanks for all your support, everybody. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
said tonight.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.